Welcome to the deep dive. We're your shortcut through all the noise, getting you straight to the real nuggets of knowledge and insight.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
So today you're joining us for our third Sunday session, digging into inbox intel.
Yep. Rounding up the week's email industry news, straight from email experts' releases.
And wow, what a week it's been. A couple of stories really got people talking.
Definitely. The Nike lawsuit was huge.
Yeah, the one we actually broke first over at Email Expert on Friday, that and the Google Gemini AI phishing hack.
Right. Two really fascinating, maybe slightly worrying developments.
Totally. They tell you a lot about how fast this email world is changing. So let's jump in.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's really unpack this Nike story first, because like you said, massive topic this week.
Yeah, everyone is clicking on that one.
So Nike Inc. is facing a class action lawsuit, right? In Washington State.
That's the one. And it's not about a data breach this time.
No, it's about something, well, maybe more common. Misleading email subject lines.
Exactly. Using them to create this, you know, false sense of agency for promotions.
We're talking things like only a few hours left or ends tonight, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Or last chance to save an extra 25%, stuff we all see.
Right. But the lawsuit's saying these claims weren't true. The sales lasted longer.
That's the core allegation. They give a specific example too. Juneteenth, 2022.
Okay, what was the subject line?
It was 2 days only, save up to 50%. Sounds pretty clear, right?
Yeah, 2 days, but...
But the sale apparently went on until June 18th.
June 18th. That's 8 days after the supposed two-day sale started.
Exactly. Not just a little slip-up. It's a pretty significant gap.
Wow. Okay, so what's the legal angle here? This isn't just bad practice. It's potentially illegal.
Well, what's truly fascinating here is the legal foundation. It leans heavily on Washington State's laws.
Okay.
Specifically, their CEMA, the Commercial Electronic Mail Act, is pretty strict.
CEMA, right. And there was a recent court case that made this even more potent.
Precisely. A really crucial precedent from April 2025. It's the Brown v. Old Navy ruling from the Washington Supreme Court.
Brown v. Old Navy. And that ruling did what exactly?
It basically gave CEMA some serious teeth. Broadly interpreted the act.
How so?
It established a $500 statutory penalty per email.
Hey. $500 for every single email sent to a Washington resident with a misleading subject line.
You got it. And here's the kicker.
Uh-oh.
The court said the injury is receiving the email that violates CEMA.
Meaning, you don't even have to prove you lost money or anything. Just getting the email is enough.
Exactly. No actual financial damages needed. Just receiving that misleading message is the violation.
That is a massive shift. So every subject line is now like a potential $500 landmine in Washington.
It certainly raises the stakes dramatically.
Yeah.
Think about the potential scale for Nike. Millions, maybe billions, depending on how many emails went to Washington residents.
Yikes.
And this ruling also drew a line, you know, between, okay, marketing puffery, like saying best shoes ever.
Right. Stuff you can't really prove or disprove.
Exactly. Versus actionable false statements of fact, like saying a sale ends tonight when it doesn't.
And the Nike claims seem to fall into that second bucket.
According to the lawsuit, absolutely. And it's not just Nike. We're seeing Crumble Cookies, Skims, other big names facing similar lawsuits.
So it's a trend. Stricter enforcement is here.
Seems like it. Digital marketing is definitely under a microscope.
Okay, I can feel the panic rising for email marketers listening right now. The pressure for urgency is real, but so are these risks.
Oh, sure.
So for folks working in email, what are the absolute must-dos now, the key takeaways?
Right. The recommendations are critical. Number one, factual accuracy, especially with urgency claims. Just be honest about when things end.
Seems simple, but clearly vital. What else?
Geo-targeting. You have to know about state-specific laws like Washington CEMA and make sure you comply.
This segmenting list based on location is non-negotiable.
Absolutely. And consider dynamic content. If you can update subject lines in real time if a sale extends, or just make sure campaigns stop dead when the offer actually expires.
Okay, dynamic content and precise campaign timing. Makes sense.
And finally, audits. Regular independent audits. And get legal involved early, like in the planning stage.
Don't wait until there's a problem.
Exactly. Proactive risk management. It's not optional anymore.
Okay, solid advice. So that's the risk from what marketers say. But then there's this Google Gemini thing.
Ah, yes, the AI angle.
Yeah, here's where it gets really, really interesting. This is about tricking the machines themselves, right?
That's the core of it. A new kind of phishing exploiting Google Workspace's AI summarizer, Gemini.
How does it even work if there are no bad links or attachments?
It uses something called prompt injection. Basically, hidden commands snuck into the email body.
Hidden how?
Like invisible text using HTML or CSS tricks. The user can't see it, but the AI can.
Whoa. So the original email looks totally harmless, bypasses filters.
That's the danger. No obvious red flags for traditional security.
And the example they showed was just chilling. Gemini spat out a summary saying...
Yeah, the example summary was something like, Gemini has detected your Gmail password has been compromised. Please call us immediately at phone number.
That's terrifying. It uses Google's own AI, its credibility, to deliver the fish.
It's a total game changer. If you think about the bigger picture, this isn't just another scam.
No.
It's really a new class of AI-driven threat. Attackers are now thinking about how machines read emails, not just people.
So AI summaries, alerts, previews, those are now attack surfaces.
Exactly. Any AI-generated UI element based on external input is potentially vulnerable.
Has Google fixed it?
Well, Google acknowledged the issue. They said they're hardening protections against these prompt injections.
But they also said it wasn't widespread yet.
Right. But what's really interesting is that Google apparently knew this kind of abuse was possible.
They did.
Yeah. They acknowledged the potential for it about a month before this successful exploit was reported.
Wow. So they knew it was coming. That says a lot about how fast this AI stuff moves, maybe faster than the safeguards.
It really underscores that gap. Innovation is racing ahead. And security is trying to catch up.
So what does this mean for us? What needs to happen?
Well, several things. AI engines need much better input sanitization, ways to filter out those hidden commands.
Makes sense.
We probably need new heuristics, new ways for AI to actually detect prompt injection attempts.
Okay.
And crucially, user education. We need to be careful about blindly trusting AI summaries. Especially for security stuff.
Hmm.
Verify, you know.
Yeah, don't just click or call because the AI summary told you to.
Exactly. And for legitimate email senders, this is a warning shot.
How so?
Keep your formatting clean and consistent. Monitor how your emails actually render in these AI platforms. Hmm. You don't want a hidden prompt hijacking your message.
Good point. Wow. Okay, so legal traps, AI exploits... It's a minefield.
It certainly requires attention.
And it's not just the tech giants. We saw another huge email blunder this week, right? Tim Hortons in Canada.
Oh, yeah, that story. A classic case of automation gone wrong.
What happened there? It was a contest email.
Yeah, their big roll-up-to-win contest. Back in April, about 500,000 people got an email.
Okay.
Telling them they'd won the grand prize. A $64,000 boat and trailer.
500,000 people won the boat. Oh, man.
Yeah, including thousands in Quebec. Imagine getting that email. Then... Oops.
They sent a retraction saying technical issues.
Pretty much immediately. Blame tech issues, no compensation offered, just sorry you didn't actually win the boat.
Ouch. And now there's a lawsuit.
There is. And this brings up another interesting legal point, especially in Quebec.
Okay.
Their Consumer Protection Act is quite strong. It apparently prevents companies from just saying, oops, mistake, and voiding a contract formed by a win notification like that.
So you can't just take back the win notification because you messed up.
Seems that's the argument. So the lawsuit wants the prize value and punitive damages for the error.
Wow. So the lesson there is test your automation thoroughly.
Absolutely. Robust QA is essential.
Yeah.
And have a crisis comms plan.
Yeah.
How do you apologize for mistakenly giving away a boat?
Good question. Probably not just with a quick "our bad" email.
Probably not. And again, understanding regional laws is key. Quebec's rules are different. Maybe a goodwill gesture could have headed off the lawsuit.
Yeah, managing the PR fallout must have been intense. Customer service lines probably melted.
You'd imagine so.
Yeah.
A real PR nightmare.
Okay, so switching gears slightly, but still on the theme of things going wrong, that Irish Treasury phishing loss.
Yes, the NTMA incident. 5 million lost.
That's a staggering amount. And described as a sophisticated, multi-layered phishing attack.
It really highlights that even with sophisticated attacks, often there's a human element, but also technical gaps.
What kind of technical gaps? Was there something specific found?
There was. Industry folks looked at the NTMA's email domain setup, ntma.ie, and they found something pretty crucial about their DMRC record.
DMRC, that's the email authentication protocol, right? Tells servers what to do with emails claiming to be from you.
Exactly. Think of it as the bouncer at the door for your domain's email.
Okay, so what was wrong with their bouncer?
It had a PNUN policy. The P stands for policy.
PNUN. What does NUN mean in this context?
It means monitor only. Check emails claiming to be from ntma.ie. report if they fail authentication checks like SPF or DKIM, but let them through anyway.
Let them through, even if they fail, even if they're spoofed.
Yep, it lets everything through. It's often used as a starting point when setting up DMR, just to see what's happening.
But you're not supposed to leave it like that indefinitely.
Absolutely not. Especially for a national treasury agency. It offers very little actual protection against spoofing. You're basically just watching the fakes walk in the door.
And it looked like their SPF and DKIM might have been off too, the other authentication bits.
Yeah, reports suggested they might have been misconfigured or even absent, which makes spoofing even easier.
So the takeaway is, DMRC is critical, but it needs the right policy, not just PNUN forever.
Precisely. You need SPF, DM, and DMRs with a policy moving towards P-quarantine efforts.
Which sends suspicious mail to spam.
Right. Or ideally, P-reject.
Which blocks it outright.
Exactly. It's a phased approach. You monitor, you validate your legitimate senders, then you tighten the policy. Leaving it at P-none is like having locks but never locking the door.
Especially for public bodies. Seems like a big oversight.
It does raise questions about public sector email readiness, sometimes lagging behind. It's a fundamental security layer.
Okay, so legal compliance, AI threats, authentication failures. It feels like a lot of this boils down to getting the fundamentals right.
It often does.
Which brings us to maybe the most fundamental thing, the data itself. We saw that validity report this week about dirty data.
Yes. The data quality problem, it's huge.
The numbers were pretty stark. 76% of companies admitting less than half their CRM data is accurate.
It's shocking, but maybe not surprising to folks in the trenches. And 37% reporting direct revenue loss because of it.
That's real money being left on the table.
Absolutely. Gartner estimates it costs companies 15% of revenue annually. Some estimates put the total U.S. cost at like $3.1 trillion a year.
Trillion! That's astronomical.
It is. And think about AI. Data scientists are spending, 60% of their time just cleaning data instead of building models.
So the promise of AI marketing is being held back by just bad data.
Massively. AI tools amplify whatever you feed them. Feed them garbage, you get garbage out faster and at scale. Someone called it like bolting a rocket engine to a shopping trolley.
Huh. That's a great analogy. AI won't magically fix bad data.
Exactly. It makes the problems worse, potentially leading to really misleading outputs or failed campaigns. You need intelligent inputs for intelligent outcomes.
So for all the email pros listening, trying to leverage data, maybe use some AI, what are the concrete steps? How do you avoid the rocket-powered shopping trolley?
It starts with the basics, really. First, do a data audit. Find the duplicates, the old stuff, the gaps. See what you actually have.
Okay, know your starting point, then.
Enforce input standards. Strict validation rules, drop-downs, maybe use list hygiene tools like bouncer or zero bounce right at the point of entry. Stop bad data getting in.
Prevent the problem upstream. Makes sense.
Then automate the cleaning. Use tools. There are things like Dedupli, OpenPrize, to continually dedupe, standardize, and manage the data you already have.
Keep it clean automatically.
Right. Enrich it strategically if needed, but always prioritize deliverability, which means clean lists. And critically, verify your data integrity before you unleash machine learning or predictive models on it.
Don't build your fancy AI house on a shaky data foundation.
You nailed it. Data quality isn't just some back office chore. It's a frontline revenue engine. Ignore it and nothing else works properly.
Wow. Okay, what a tour through this week's email news, drawing from email experts, inbox intel.
A lot happened.
For sure. From Nike showing us the high stakes of subject line accuracy and legal compliance.
And Tim Hortons reminding us about contest rules and testing.
To the really quite scary Gemini AI exploit showing new security frontiers.
And the Irish Treasury loss highlighting fundamental authentication needs like DMRC.
Right. It all really points to needing constant vigilance, robust security, and as we just discussed, that foundational need for clean, reliable data, especially if you're looking at AI.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, we really want to thank all our members for their support, which makes deep dives like this possible.
Absolutely. Thank you all.
And just a quick heads up for everyone, the new member hub is getting very close. It's coming shortly, so keep an eye out for that.
Exciting stuff.
So to wrap us up, any final thought for our listeners based on all this?
Yeah, maybe just this question to ponder. What stands out to you about how quickly this whole email landscape is shifting, and how will you make sure your own practices are ready for whatever comes next?